Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini. I'm again on my own today, but earlier on Tuesday, I had a wonderful conversation with Matt Gould, the composer of Limpica, currently running on Broadway. He was talking to me from a dressing room over at the Long Acre Theater after an orchestra rehearsal for a new song that they were putting in for the first time on Tuesday night. So he told me about that, and we talked about so many things about this show, the development, the 14-year period, the 14-year process to get it to Broadway, its indomitable star, Eden Espinosa, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy that episode when it is released here in the next few days. But if you want to make sure that you hear that before anybody else can, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. All right, I'm going to run you through some news here, starting off with some show and casting nuggets that we got on Tuesday. Laura Benanti recently had an off-Broadway show for just a very limited time called Nobody Cares over at the Minetta Lane Theater as part of Audible Theater's season. Well, it was so well received that it's coming back. The show, which originally only played for 3 nights, will now run from May 9th through June 2nd. Tickets are on sale. Like, I think it's 20% off for the first 48 hours. So if you are hearing this in the relative short amount of time after the episode was released, you can still probably take advantage of that. It's a solo comedy with original music written by Benanti and her longtime collaborator and Girl from the North Country star, Todd Almond. He is also the music director, and Annie Tippy directs. Going from New York City to Washington, D.C., yesterday they announced more casting for the upcoming Broadway center stage production of Bye Bye Birdie at the Kennedy Center. We already knew that Christian Borle was playing Albert Peterson, Krista Rodriguez was playing Rosie Alvarez, and Ephraim Sykes was playing Conrad Birdie. We now know that Jennifer Laura Thompson will be playing Doris McAfee, Richard Kind will be playing Harry McAfee, Caroline Aaron will be playing Mae Patterson, Ashlyn Maddox will play Kim McAfee, and Henry Kirk will play Randolph McAfee. Also in the company will be Miguel Gill as Hugo, Megan Sikora as Gloria Rasputin, always one of my favorite characters, and Allison Blackwell, Linda Muggleston, and others are in the ensemble. If you want to see the complete cast, head over to the show notes. That show will run for 1 week only at the Eisenhower Theater at the Kennedy Center from June 7th through 15th. Next up, we knew that this show was coming, but we now know who will be leading it, and one of them we kind of assumed. One of them is a bit of a surprise, but coming up on May 18th and running through June 16th at the Arts Commons Max Bell Theater in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, will be a new version of Beaches the Musical. This is, of course, based on the Iris Rainier Dart best-selling novel, which was then turned into a feature film that starred Bette Midler. There have been a couple different versions of this show in the past. Originally, Alicia Umfriss and Mara Davey did it in Washington. Then Shoshana Bean and Whitney Basher did it in Chicago. But this is kind of a new version of that. Dart and Tom Thomas have co-written the book, and the music is by Mike Stoller with lyrics by Dart. And this is a new score from the previous versions. The last time that we heard about this show, Whitney Basher and Jessica Vosk did a private reading of this in October of 2023. Well, Jessica Vosk is continuing on with the show as Cece, but instead of Whitney Basher, who is currently on Broadway and MJ, playing the role of Birdie will be Kelly Barrett, always somebody who I think has been underrepresented in terms of her roles and opportunities. I think she's very talented. So this one is going to play in Canada through June 16th. I have heard that this one, of course, wants to make its way to Broadway, but I think it might be going across the pond before it comes to New York City. So we will see what happens with that. Lonnie Price and Matt Cowart are co-directing the Lebanon engagement, and Jennifer Reyes is doing the choreography. All right, let's take a real quick break to talk about our sponsor this week, BetterHelp. Even though I am just a single person running around and trying to maintain everything that I have going on in my life, spinning all the plates, being where I'm supposed to be, taking care of myself, having a little fun, it can be a lot. So I cannot imagine what it's like for people with families and with kids. And right now in this spring season, when the weather's getting nice, you have more social opportunities and in some cases obligations. Your kids have more things they have to do, soccer, t-ball, all the stuff outside. It can be a lot. And sometimes that will run down your social battery. You'll feel drained, you'll feel worn out, you'll feel like you are running on empty. When we have so many people counting on us, often we can forget to take care of ourselves. But therapy is a way that you can gain some self-awareness to be able to build a life and a social life that doesn't drain your battery. We all have responsibilities, those aren't going away, but there is a way to balance them so it's not only going to make things better for you, but for all of the people in your life as well. Talking to a therapist can allow you to develop skills in your life, whether they are coping skills or time management skills or skills that let you set boundaries, to make sure that you are not overloading yourself to the detriment of everybody that counts on you. Therapy can empower you to be the best version of yourself, no matter what it is that is getting in the way at the time. And with all of our busy schedules, that social calendar that is so full that is draining our battery, BetterHelp is the absolute best way to go about it. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient and flexible, and it is specifically set to your individual schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. I did it, it took like 4 minutes, and they will match you with a licensed therapist that focuses on the types of things that you say that you want to accomplish. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Broadway today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Broadway. All right, let's get into last week's Broadway grosses, and man, oh man, what a difference a week makes. Last week when we did this, we talked about the fact that there were 26 shows on Broadway. As of the end of last week, there were 32 shows. And because of that, Broadway's grosses increased by 30%, or basically $8.5 million, to come in at $37,095,505. Attendance increased by 42,000 people-ish, or 18%. So 271,802 people saw shows on Broadway last week. The average ticket price, up 10%, was $136.48. Thanks to the Easter weekend, a couple shows, both of them very family friendly, took advantage of the equity rules that allowed them to do 9 performances. They were The Lion King and Wicked. Those two, unsurprisingly, were at the top of the grosses ladder, with The Lion King coming in at $3,178,613. Wicked was not very far behind at $2.9 million. Then we had Hamilton at 2.07, Aladdin at 1.8, and Harry Potter and the Cursed Child just under 1.8 million. The rest of the shows north of 7 figures in descending order are MJ, Merrily We Roll Along, Moulin Rouge, Sweeney Todd, 7 performances, Back to the Future, and Juliet, Water for Elephants, The Book of Mormon, Spamalot, Hadestown, Chicago, 6, and An Enemy of the People. The Who's Tommy and The Notebook were very close to that, but they did so in 8 shows. The Wiz was next at $941,425, but they only had 4 shows. So all of the caveats of, it was their first few performances, so lots of diehard fans wanted to be there, and it was a holiday weekend, but if you extrapolate that out to a full 8-show week, that is just under $1.9 million. I'm knocking on wood, because we have not seen a lot of shows have success at the Marquee in a long time, but if they can continue that, they might be able to buck that curse and do very, very well in that theater. In total, if you were not counting at home, 18 of Broadway's 32 productions were north of 7 figures, and 30 of the 32 played to more than 90% capacity. The two that did not, one of them just closed, that was Days of Wine and Roses, that was at 64.78%, and then A Beautiful Noise, which we know is going to close here in the next couple months, at 60.45%. Other shows that just got going, The Heart of Rock and Roll did 2 previews. It brought in only $139,145. The Great Gatsby also did 2 previews. That came in at $433,640. Hell's Kitchen on 3 shows did $624,961. And then the rest of the shows that were in previews did more shows than just those handfuls. All right, let's dive into some other theatrically related news before we wrap up the show. We talked about The Great Gatsby on Broadway getting its first two previews under its belt. Well, the next version of Gatsby that we're going to be seeing on a musical theater stage will begin performances on May 23rd, just under 2 months away from now. And we now know of the entire creative team that will bring that show to life at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Of course, we know that Florence Welch of Florence and the Machine and Thomas Bartlett are writing the score. The book is by Martina Mayoke and Rachel Chavkin is directing. Mimi Lean is doing the scenic design. Costume design will be by Sandy Powell. Lighting is by Alan Edwards. Sound design is by Tony Gale. Kimberly Grigsby will handle the music supervision, while music direction will be by Wiley DeWeese. And as we already knew, Sonia Taya will handle the choreography. I think the fact that we are getting this, and there are major rumors and not very veiled hints by some potential stars on their social medias, we should be getting principal casting of this very soon. And I've got to tell you, from everything I've heard, it is very clear, just based off of the casting, that the approach to this story is going to be very different than anything we've ever seen. Not obviously only the version we see on Broadway right now, but the movie versions as well, and other plays too, because there are some pretty well-known stars playing some of the roles that are a little bit down what you would assume to be the call sheet. And I think that can be some clues before anybody sees it on stage that this is going to be a fairly different approach to this show, and it might change the focus a little bit as to who is at the center of the story. Obviously, Jay and Daisy and Nick and Jordan will be at the center, but I think they might be widening that a little bit more to have some pretty decent sized stars in some of the other roles. So we will wait and see what that happens whenever that casting is announced. But of course, the show is scheduled to run in Cambridge from May 23rd through July 21st. In some very cool accessibility news, yesterday the Manhattan Theater Club announced that for two performances of Mary Jane on Broadway coming up over the next few months, they will provide free childcare. This will take place on matinee performances on May 12th and June 2nd. It is completely free, but you do have to pre-register because space is limited. You go to BroadwayBabysitters.com and get more information. This is an appropriate initiative for Mary Jane because the show does center on a single mother who is raising an ill child. And the last little bit of news that we got is that a member of the Broadway cast of Frozen will now be heading out into the national tour. Nicholas Edwards was a replacement. He was in the ensemble, but also understudied Kristoff and Pabby. Well, he will be taking over the role of Kristoff starting on April 10th. He will be joining Caroline Bowman and Lauren Nicole Chambers as Elsa and Anna, respectively. Jeremy Davis as Olaf, Preston Perez as Hans, Evan Duff as the Duke of Wesselton, and Colin Baha and Dan Plehall alternating as Sven. This tour is going to wrap up at the end of its current dates. It is slated to finish up kind of its East Coast trek. It is in Philadelphia this week, then it's going to hit Toledo, Ohio, Jacksonville, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, and then it's going to start heading west, going to Texas, Colorado, Vancouver, Spokane, Idaho, and then it's going to wrap up in San Jose, California on September 1st. So I'm really thinking about heading up to Jacksonville to see it one more time before it closes up, because I really enjoyed this show, especially the changes that they made for the tour, and hearing Caroline Bowman sing anything is awesome, but especially hearing her sing Let It Go and Monster and some of these other songs is pretty special, so I cannot wait to see that again. All right, a couple of feel-good recommendations before we get you out here. Both of them have to do with shows that began performances last Friday. First up, the Heart of Rock and Roll put out a social media video kind of doing a recap of its first few days of performances. That's very cool. You might recognize somebody that is very familiar to listeners of Today on Broadway in the video a couple times. Even though Grace Aki is not here on the show today, she is in this recommendation, so check that out. And then the other one is from The Great Gatsby, which we talked about. This is the video of the very first curtain call featuring Jeremy Jordan and Eva Noblezada, as well as Noah Ricketts and Sam Pauly et al. All right, that's all that we have for you today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWW Matt. Have a wonderful hump day, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.